Okay, hello everyone. This is Christine Audie. I am the Executive Team Manager for Wolf Means Business, and I will be filling in today for Julie Gilbert. Julie had her baby last week, so she is out on maternity leave for a little while, enjoying some good cuddling time with her little one. Before I introduce our speaker, Desbina, I wanted to let you know people may be joining us a little late or coming on as we go through the call. You may hear some clicks. I don't think you will, but if you do hear some clicks, don't worry about that. That's just activity with people joining the line as we go. As we go through our interview, our Wolf Chat today, I also wanted to let you know to feel free. There will be time for question and answers, hopefully at the end of the call. But if you have a specific question that you would like me to ask as well, go ahead and email me at Christine, which is C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, at wolfmeansbusiness.com. So with that, we are going to move forward. We have a little bit different format today. We're going to do a little bit more of an interview style, but like I said, hopefully we'll still have time for some additional questions at the end. Today's guest is Desbina, okay, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly again, Desbina Aluwalia. Desbina is a former attorney and happily married second-generation Indian-American entrepreneur, relationship expert, matchmaker, and radio show host. Desbina is pursuing her entrepreneurial passion as the founder and president of Intersections Match, the only elite personalized matchmaking firm in the country, serving selective singles of South Asian descent nationwide in the U.S. Desbina is also the host of Intersections Match Talk Radio, a monthly holistic lifestyle show focused on our continual evolution into the best versions of our authentic selves. The mission of Intersections Match is broader than elite matchmaking and includes thought leadership and spearheading a dialogue on relationships, social dynamics, and health and wellness, each of which contributes to meaningful and fulfilling lives. Desbina has received nationwide press, including that in Business Week, Chicago Tribune, San Jose Mercury News, live TV and radio, and serves as a relationship expert in the upscale Washington Masala, Indian Currents, and abcdlady.com. She has also participated on panels at Harvard Business School, Wharton, and Columbia. Previously, Desbina practiced law in San Francisco and Chicago. Desbina earned her BA, MA in philosophy from Vanderbilt University and JD from University of Michigan Law School. So welcome, Desbina. We're happy to have you here with us today.
Hi, Christine. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm going to start off with kind of a little bit of background, maybe, questions for you.
Okay.
Can you give us a little brief history of Intersection?
Sure. Well, you know, I've always wanted to pursue an entrepreneurial venture, you know, aligned with my values, my principles, and, you know, really focused on helping people in a high-impact way. So I founded Intersections Match in 2007, and the service focuses on selected South Asian singles across the country looking to find significant others. So this is a high-touch service. It's not online. And,
okay.
You know, we do a comprehensive personal consultation with each client to really understand their needs, their paradigms regarding relationships, their blind spots that we all have. And we have, you know, a whole value-added feedback after each introduction. So that's basically how we go about things.
Interesting. What was your main inspiration for the company?
So as you've mentioned, I'm a second-generation professional Indian-American woman. So as a second-generation, I was raised in the U.S. To parents who immigrated, you know, from abroad. And I was raised with an understanding of the successful blending of Indian and American cultures. And you know, I knew there was a need for someone in the South Asian community who could really relate firsthand to the challenges of juggling, you know, professional, social, and personal demands with that cultural perspective as well. And, you know, my firsthand experience in, you know, in the dating world itself, you know, motivated me to create a premium service which could be, effectively leveraged by selected professionals who want to focus on finding that special someone, but at the same time have really demanding schedules. And, as I'd mentioned, as a result of my personal experiences, searching for my special someone while I was practicing law, I believe there'd be a demand for a premium service to assist, selective young professionals navigate what I think is one of the most important life decisions. I'd noticed a lot of other young professionals had challenges balancing their professional life with their personal life, and I believe that in particular this can be a really common issue for young professionals from South Asian backgrounds, these are people whose cultures discourage early dating and teach young people to, first focus on their education and other self-development. And, so knowing there was a great demand among South Asian professionals, I also noticed there was no one meeting this need. And, given my own personal, my professional, my cultural background and experiences, I really felt that I was in a unique position to provide that value to clients.
Okay, now, and you do this nationwide, correct? You have nationwide resources?
Correct. So the way we work actually was really interesting because we're a personalized service, and yet we have, we work nationwide. So a lot of people ask, how exactly does that work? So one of the ways we make it work really well is we have what we call our scouts. And our whole scout force is actually these are people who mirror our clients to a great degree in that they're largely but not exclusively of South Asian background. They, during the day they work in various industries and fields. They include people who are, doing what I used to do, practicing law during the day. We have doctors, we have grad students, we have engineers, we have people in tech, people in finance, and in their free time, the way they help us is they are, they're basically helping us with their searches on behalf of our clients in different ways. And the different ways they're doing this is some of them are attending, social events in their respective cities. Our scouts are located, like I said, throughout the country. We have scouts in the San Francisco Bay Area, in the D.C. metro area, Boston, Denver, New York City, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Chicago. So they're attending events in their, their respective cities, and they're also, some of them are less able to attend events very regularly, so they're, canvassing their personal and professional circles for matches for our clients, and some of them are also hosting mixers in their respective cities for us. So the scouts are a great way for us to really leverage our search capability throughout the country. And the fact that they have kind of, their own lives, both obviously personally and socially, but also professionally, helps us in terms of just expanding our network. So,
wow, that's a great model for that professional that just doesn't have the time to really do that, but knows, what they're looking for to have someone else in those circles. That's great. What kind of, since you've been doing this for a little while, what kind of growth have you seen in your business?
What's interesting is we're coming off of tremendous growth, and what is very interesting about that is we're also coming off, like everyone else, from, an economic downturn, which, but what is actually kind of interesting about that is we actually were growing during the downturn. I think we were one of the few kind of industries that, was able to face that downturn successfully, and one of the reasons, and I think, and that's something industry-wise. I think that, we have relationships with mainstream matchmakers throughout the country, and that's something that I think is somewhat of a common theme, as well as on online dating sites. And so, from our perspective, this is the first, economic downturn in that sense our company has faced, just historically. And what we noticed is when the, when the economy took that nosedive, it actually caused people to really look inward and, evaluate their personal lives, their personal relationships, their family relationships. And so we found that during that time of economic certainty, while people certainly felt a lack of control over their financial situation, many people started looking internally and trying to really identify areas of their lives where they could exert some level of control you know, by being proactive, it's like, you know, my balance sheets are, you know, I can't really have control over, you know, the macroeconomic climate out there or even maybe my own, you know, investments in that sense. But one thing that I can do is look at my life and what can I control kind of thing. And, you know, for those who, you know, feel the lack of a partner in their lives and felt it, you know, during the last several months, I would say, becoming proactive in this arena became, I think, especially important. And it is also comforting to have a partner with whom to weather any storm, including economic. So we found ourselves actually, you know, we've received an overwhelming response to our service in general, and that continued during the economic downturn, I'm, you know, happy to say. So that was a pretty interesting thing for us to see.
That's very interesting. Now, you guys, you know, you're reaching a very specific clientele, it looks like. It's not something that there's, I'm assuming, a lot of, you know, mass advertising on your part. Is your organization being recognized in other ways for the work you're doing that's kind of helping get the word out there?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We actually won an award recently, which is pretty interesting. And I actually have something. I didn't memorize exactly what the award is. There are a number of ways we actually get out there. But one thing, which is kind of an icing on the cake for us, and we were pretty excited about, was we won the, you know, Intersections was named the best business idea in the Indus Business Journal, which is a business journal on the East Coast, 2009 Women in Business Award. So that was pretty neat. But I would say that in general, what's really been great to raise awareness about our services is actually kind of multifold, I would say. One is, you know, as you'd mentioned, we write for a lot of publications out there, both online portals as well as, you know, print publications, anything from like glossy upscale magazines to online portals like abcdlady.com, and then, you know, newspapers. And what we're able to do is we do this throughout the country. Obviously, the online portals are worldwide, but in terms of the newspapers or the magazines, they're generally pretty region or city-specific. So we field Q's and A's, question and answers, that are written in from, you know, the audiences, the readerships of those different, you know, different publications. And another way we, you know, another thing we do is we do telecons, actually. And what's interesting is we've, you know, established partnerships with different community organizations in that sense. And we, you know, we'll have what we call similar Q&A telecons, where people can dial in from across the country and actually, well, pretty much from around the country, I mean, I would say. And what they're doing is they're dialing in and they are asking questions about relationships and dating, knowing that, you know, I'm fielding questions, I'm dealing with clients every day, basically, and fielding questions about relationships, both men and women. So this is an opportunity for people to, you know, to dial in and ask their questions. So we've done these kind of things with a variety of organizations, I would say, anything from, like, Cornell University's India Association to there's something called an Indo-American Arts Council. We have, there's a nationwide network of Indian professionals, so, you know, called NETIP, Indus Women Leaders, which is exactly like it sounds, women leaders throughout the country of Indian descent. So, you know, so that's another way that we've kind of not only, you know, spread awareness about our services, but also, you know, become a part of and initiated this thought leadership that you had mentioned in terms of our mission being broader than, you know, making personalized introductions on behalf of our clients, but also including, you know, spearheading dialogue on relationships. And we also have a radio show where we, and what's interesting about the radio show is we are not, you know, our guests are pretty much not of South Asian background. In fact, we started the radio show, it launched, I believe, in November of last year. And to date, we haven't really had any guests of South Asian descent. And that's only because we are, you know, we have a lot of published authors and experts on our show. So we have people who are writing, you know, national bestsellers, people who are, like, on CNN, on the talk shows, on the circuits doing their books, but they are, you know, they're on our show, and we're basically doing this interviewing, similar to you, I mean, I'm interviewing them about relationships, about their findings when they've done research and studies. So this is very much, well, our clientele is South Asian, and I would say of our clientele, we have, you know, we have a significant portion who are really interested in meeting people with a similar cultural background, but similarly, we have a significant portion who are very open to meeting people of all different ethnicities. Our clients are pretty mainstreamed in this country. They have, you know, they're pretty active socially and, you know, professionally in the mainstream community. And so some of them are, you know, very, very open, very interested in meeting different people of different ethnicities. So we have relationships with, you know, matchmakers throughout the country as well. So these are, you know, kind of all the different avenues, I say, that we've been able to really spread the word about our services. And it helps that we're the only ones doing this in the country as well. So people know that if they have a client who's open to meeting Indian Americans, or if they have an Indian American client or a South Asian client, you know, they know who to come to throughout the country. So it's so in that sense, it's been a really exciting journey so far.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So what, you know, your background is in law, but you mentioned that you've always had kind of an entrepreneurial spirit. So after your years as a lawyer, what led you to do this, to decide this was a good time to explore starting this type of business?
Well, so this is something that will probably speak to many women, you know, and that is that, and actually before I even answer that, I want to say that, as you had mentioned, I've, you know, spoken to a number of different panels, you know, the Harvard Wharton and Columbia were all women business school panels, and what was interesting is that the topic of the panels that I was on was, you know, formally, they were different topics, but despite the fact that these were different topics and none of them were formally a kind of a work-life, you know, panel per se, inevitably questions, you know, were raised from the audience having to do with work-life. So it won't surprise you to hear that, you know, my answer to your question is basically, you know, one of the notions, you know, apart from having an entrepreneurial spirit and, you know, really, you know, having in the back of my mind that I wanted to create my own thing and, you know, add value to people's lives, another of the notions was that I, you know, really wanted to design a life where I could balance family with a career and, you know, and have that impact on people's lives. So after I found my life partner, you know, I felt it was time for me, you know, I was looking towards the future and having a family myself, and I felt it was time for me to try and really identify an opportunity where I could have more influence over my time, which I really didn't have as a practicing lawyer. And speaking of which, you may hear that, I am working from a home office. So, but, you know, furthermore, you know, and I believe that being, you know, happily married as well as a mother gives me a perspective which I really feel is valuable to our clients, many of whom are, you know, seeking, you know, that in terms of a life partner, and many, many of whom are also seeking, you know, family. So that is, you know, that's pretty much what led me. It's pretty actually holistic in that sense. It kind of came full circle, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I know that work-life balance is a continuing challenge for most of us working women. You know, your model is so unique, and you provide such, you know, personalized service for your clients. Are there other services that you provide as well, you know, in addition to just, you know, being out there and finding potential contacts for your clients?
Sure. So our services, basically, you know, I mentioned the personal consultations, and those are things, we actually do personal consultations as standalone personal consultations as well for people who come to us, and they may not be ready to invest in a full-blown search plan, but they really do want to kind of sit down with somebody and really gain clarity on what they're looking for, kind of have a gauge for how realistic their expectations are, have someone kind of listen to, you know, their relationship history, kind of be there to provide any insight into potential blind spots and that kind of a thing. So for those people, and, you know, I feel like, and we've gotten great feedback about that whole process. It takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And, you know, the point is that even if one were not to, you know, move on to a search plan, their own, you know, self-screening mechanisms would be heightened in terms of being out there, whether they're then going to take that kind of self-awareness and that self-knowledge and go do online dating, or whether they may, you know, continue to get set up, I'm fortunate to get set up from friends, family, that kind of a thing. You know, they'll be armed with that process. So standalone personal consultations, and then, you know, as you mentioned, the customized search plans where we're kind of, it's similar to a headhunter recruiter model. We're not a closed system where we're limiting our clients to our other clients, but we're really opening all avenues up for our, including our scout force for our search plan clients. And we also do dating coaching. As you can imagine, it's very related to what we do. And then in terms of, in addition to the dating coaching, it's, you know, offline as well as dating coaching for people who are doing online dating. So we'll help people with their, you know, their online search, their online profiles, really trying to help them optimize their online presence, help them strategically select sites that would be best for them, and that kind of a thing. So, so I would say those are different services, but everything really starts with that personal consultation for us.
Well, it sounds like you've had a lot of great response to that. At any point in your journey here, did you ever feel like giving up and going back to a regular job?
No, I would actually say no, which is interesting. I mean, does that mean that there's been frustrations? Absolutely. But does that mean that I've ever really seriously considered kind of throwing the towel in and saying, you know what, I'm going to look for a job now? You know, the answer to that is really no. I mean, this is really a passion, and it's just been an exciting journey with hurdles and like everyone else, but nonetheless, you know, nothing that I've ever seriously considered, you know, kind of tossing the towel in for. So
great. You just mentioned that, you know, of course there were some challenges, and you know, I think all entrepreneurs certainly face challenges. What were some of your biggest challenges in your journey as an entrepreneur up till now?
Well, you know, I think, you know, there probably on a very regular basis are there challenges, but I would say the biggest kind of challenge that we face today would be that just a matter of education in terms of, you know, we're lucky we're in an industry where there's no need to create the demand. The demand is there, and in that sense, that's huge. But one of our challenges has been really educating the South Asian community, and I would argue this is just the mainstream community in general would be something, that investment of, you know, time, energy, and money, which are three resources, you know, that time, energy, and money is what we all have, in the process of, you know, finding that right partner is a far greater long-term impact than, you know, the spending on the engagement, the wedding itself. And, you know, it strikes me as short-sighted when people choose to spend, you know, a significant amount of time, energy, and money on the wedding to the exclusion of, you know, investing those resources on finding the right partner. And so that's something, I mean, sometimes you kind of have to look back and say, well, you know, wait a minute. In terms of everyone who's been through a wedding and knows how extensive, regardless of the budget, you know, in terms of how much time is spent, whether it's on picking the flowers, the venue, the food, all of that. And the weddings are great. I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, they're definitely worth the time, energy, and money. You know, don't get me wrong. But I think that if you look at, you know, that day or not, you know, in the South Asian culture, it can many times be multiple things of that compared to a lifetime with someone and being with the right person. I think that, you know, in my mind, it's clear that the investment is really in finding that right person more so than that day or couple of days of celebrating finding that right person. So, yeah. So that's been the biggest challenge.
What would you want to say to new entrepreneurs or ones who are thinking about the possibility of starting their own business?
Ah, okay. Well, one, welcome, because it's an exciting place to be. And two is, really, identify that something, whatever that something is, identify that something that you enjoy that doing that really feeds your soul. You'll be doing a lot of it, so it really has to feed your soul. And then figure out, you know, how to provide value to others by doing it. Because one, you have to really identify that thing which feeds your soul, so you're going to be really passionate. You're going to really, you know, put your all into it. And then you really need to figure out how to provide value to others so you can do that, so you can continue doing what feeds your soul. So that would be my biggest piece of advice.
Okay. How about branding? What does a personal brand mean to you, and what is your personal brand?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. And there was actually at the Columbia Business School panel that I did, that was actually the topic of one of the panels. And this is a panel for people, whether they're looking to be or currently were in the corporate world, as well as people who are entrepreneurs, just kind of people on the whole spectrum of work in that sense. And to me, a personal brand means that one's interactions are aligned with certain core values. So, my personal brand, I would say at its most fundamental level, involves authenticity and trustworthiness. And I'd say both things of which are pretty important to what I do from day to day. So that's how I define my personal brand.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. As your career and your roles have progressed, how have you changed or redefined your personal brand along the way?
So that's an interesting question. So, given my role has shifted from, the singular role of a lawyer to the multi-pronged role of an entrepreneur, relationship expert, matchmaker, and radio show host, it is interesting to reflect on whether these different roles have warranted changes in what my personal brand is. And so my former role as a lawyer on the one hand, and my, current role as I mentioned, the relationship expert, the matchmaker, the radio show host, and the other, they both, interestingly, involve adding value to people through advising. So given the advisory aspect was integral to, my value proposition as a lawyer and remains integral to my current roles, to a large extent, my personal brand has remained consistent in these, seemingly really different roles, right? Lawyer and these other roles, one doesn't immediately think, wow, it's very similar. But my personal brand in both my, my previous legal career and my current roles, I would say they all reflect, number one, trust in my sense of discerning judgment. So judgment is huge. Both my former clients as well as my current clients really have to be comfortable with my judgment to work with me. Number two, my ability to actively listen and spot potential issues. So if there are any lawyers on the line, the spot potential issues is very much what law is about and certainly what law school is about. And, I would argue similarly with the consultations. That is really actively listening to someone and really, identifying what might be issues for that person in the whole relationship arena. And then number three, a commitment to really stay updated on, research findings, perspectives, novel ways of thinking, and trends in the industry. And, of course, as a professional in any industry, mine was law previous to this, you really do need to be up to speed on what's, going on in the industry. And similarly, with the dating relationship world, like I mentioned, we have a radio show where we are, on top of what are the thoughts out there, what are the new perspectives, what kind of studies and research is being done. And we're interviewing those people directly and sharing that with our radio show guests. So, the radio show audience. So I would say those are three very important things. And I would say that they were important in my former role as a lawyer, and they remain very important in what I'm currently doing. And I would say the overarching umbrella remains authenticity and trustworthiness, all of that.
Okay. Let me just ask you a couple more questions here. Social media is certainly a hot topic. What do you feel are the effects of social media on developing a personal brand? And, how does it make one change her efforts at personal branding?
Okay, so in terms of our social media efforts, so, we have a Facebook community, and interestingly, it's really been growing. I mean, I'd say just in a few weeks of launching our Facebook group, our membership exceeded 1,000 people, and given the size and the demographics of our Facebook community, we found that a lot of people are kind of knocking on our door to bring their events to the notice of our community, and one thing is we're really vigilant about protecting our brand from dilution. And I would say that this is to all the entrepreneurs out there, you know, I'm sure this resonates with them as well. And, you know, so, for example, an example of that would be, you know, so we only share with our Facebook community events which we believe are consistent with our premium brand positioning and, most importantly, you know, a value to our community. And so an example would be when it was specifically requested of us that we share with our community an upscale Silicon Valley discussion and networking event, which was which featured award-winning journalists, scholars, politicians, venture capitalists. You know, we happily did so. We felt like that was consistent with our premium brand positioning and, you know, it definitely added value to members of our community who'd want to participate. Now, on the other hand, we did decline to promote, you know, an online dating site's mass mixer event. There's nothing wrong. I think a mixer event is a great thing. It just wasn't very consistent either with our branding or with, you know, we didn't feel like, you know, that's something that our community, you know, could know about in so many different ways. They weren't really looking to this community to gain access or to gain knowledge of that, we felt. So another example of leveraging technology and social media was, you know, I mentioned the telecon. Given that, you know, folks are busy, just have tons going on, you know, we've anchored those value-added teleconferences on relationships for various communities, and we use Facebook for that as well. So a lot of those communities use their Facebook, you know, their respective Facebook communities, as well as the invites we sent to our Facebook community to promote the event to people and let them know they could participate from anywhere as long as they could dial in. So those are some ways that we've used Facebook. And, you know, so in our experience, social media can be a great tool for constructively growing and developing a personal brand. And like all tools, you know, if not wielded with discretion, can also, you know, destructively dilute the brand. So you do have to be vigilant, I believe, but a great tool nonetheless.
Great, great. Well, we're kind of getting near our end here, but I want to ask you what your future plans are.
So we're always thinking of different things. You know, in addition to continuing our relationships, our currently existing relationships, and growing them further, as well as keeping more relationships with more people in the dating relationship world, we're also, you know, we're at this time we're operating nationwide, but we have received inquiries from around the world, including Europe, Asia, and given those inquiries, and given the global world we all now live in, as well as, you know, demand from certain of our clients who are located in the States but travel extensively and are open to meeting potential partners abroad, you know, we will plan on exploring the possibility of overseas expansion in the future. And, you know, we also want to continue to increase the number of avenues to further the mission of Intersections. And which is mentioned, you know, it's holistic. It's really broader than personalized introductions. It really does include thought leadership and spearheading dialogue. So those are really our plans, I would say, for the relatively near future.
Terrific. Terrific. Well, before I let you go, I'm just going to open it up and see if there is anyone else on the line who would like to ask a question themselves. Otherwise, I do have an email here of one question I want to ask, too. But does anyone on the call have any other questions for Jasbina? We've asked you a lot of questions today, so looks like we've covered quite a bit, or we have just a quiet audience. Everybody's sleepy here in Minnesota from the rain.
Hopefully we've been able to sleep.
No. Let me ask you this this one question here. Your clients, when they come to you, it's kind of a, you know, why are your clients reaching out to you? What are you finding are their biggest challenges out there and looking for ways that you can help them?
Okay, so that's a great question. So I would say the challenges are different for different people. Some people, it's a matter of they just really don't have tons of time. And so while they could certainly, anyone can conduct a search on their own behalf, they just, you know, either they don't have time to be at all those events, or they don't have time to do online dating, they don't have time to do the setups their friends are offering, whatever it might be. The time is a big issue for some of our clients. they, you know, and the people come here to go through the consultation and we offer search plan are people who are very, very much willing to invest in a relationship, but they really don't want to, they want us to do the legwork in terms of finding people with real potential to put across from them so they can get to know them as opposed to kind of, you know, meeting tons of people and winnowing it down to people that they could really see themselves having a relationship with. So it's a time for some people. Some of our clients are pretty high profile, so while they, you know, they may have resources to do the online dating, that's something that they're not in a position to be able to do, just in privacy, for privacy reasons. And so I would say that would be, that's another reason. And some people are, I'm trying to think of the main reasons. I would say those are two of the top reasons that we come across. And, you know, we have people who have kind of depleted, you know, they have done the setup with, from friends or family, and they just, you know, there's no one, their friends have introduced them to everyone they know or their family has, and there just hasn't been anything there. So they are really looking to increase their avenues and explore additional avenues. And some people just have a mindset of just, you know, people who are like, you know, I want to hire a personal trainer. I want to maybe, you know, and in a similar way, you know, I want to hire someone for help with this. Some people just have a mentality of, okay, you know, there's certain, I just have a limited amount of resources, time, energy in a day, and I'd like to really leverage my resources by hiring someone to take it on. So those are the most common things that we've come across in terms of reasons why people are approaching us.
Yeah, and that's totally understandable. I certainly understand the time issue. It seems like everyone today is so busy, and there seems to be so much less time that you're able to spend face to face with people. So much happens on your computer screen, and I can totally see why people would, you know, have that need to leverage their time and leverage their connections through a service like yours. So thank you, Jasbina, so much. This was so interesting and so helpful, and we really appreciate you being on today.
It's been a pleasure, Christine. And please give my best to Julie and her new son.
I will. And I will be, for those of you on the call, or if you have friends who you think might be interested, I will be posting the recording of this call onto the Wolf Den site over the next couple of days. And I will also post on there a link to Jasbina's website, so you can find more information there as well, if you're interested. Otherwise, I really appreciate everyone being on the call today, and thank you again so much, Jasbina, for your time. We appreciate it. And I will say goodbye and wish you all a wonderful afternoon.
Great. Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.